Turn with me to the book of Matthew. We're going to go Matthew and Isaiah, a few verses. How many of you believe that the gospel is very dogmatic? In other words, it's the way it is. I found something to be so true. And I was coming out of the bank the other day, and a guy grabbed me, and he was upset with some people. The people that he was upset with don't come to church, and he doesn't come to church, but he had to voice it to somebody, and he looked at me and said, if those guys are Christians, I want nothing to do with it. And I looked at him and I said, oh, you'd rather go to hell? You know, without Christianity, without the Bible, without the guidelines that God put down, and without an acceptance of Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. Tim was telling me that he rededicated his life to Christ. And, yeah. And just turn to these people and say, come on back to church. You're welcome here. We love you. You know that, Max. Anyway, when you come to a place where you really love people, you don't want to lie to them. KCGN called me one day and said, Pastor, will you go see so-and-so? They're going to kill themselves and they need someone to talk to. And so I walked in and was talking to the man, and I said, well, why do you want to kill yourself? And he said, because I want to go to heaven. I said, what makes you think that's going to get you there? Guy's still alive. There's something we need to understand about the gospel. It is the only way. It is the truth. It is the life. And no one gets to heaven except through Jesus Christ. And when we come to a place of understanding that, we realize that the scripture is dogmatic. There's no flexibility. You know, going to church is not the same thing as accepting Christ.
That's right.
We okay?
Yes.
You know, being kind to your neighbor is not the same as accepting Christ. Christ should make us kind to our neighbor. Relationships with people are great. But it's not salvation. I was thinking, sometimes that hurts and dangerous. Why did Jesus be born as a baby? Do you know he said he was tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin? I never thought of it this way. Maybe you haven't, or maybe God hasn't either. But Jesus went through every stage of life that we go through. He went through adolescence. He went through the teenage years. He went through the early 20s. And he went through the 30s, up to at least 33. Now, I don't know if they had rebellious kids in those days. But Jesus kind of bailed out on his parents. Didn't sin. He was there in conversation with the priests, remember? The teachers. Mom and dad left, came back looking for him, found him, and don't you know you should have been with us? Oh, don't you know I was about my father's business? But Jesus went through the whole scope of life, even to the place where he died. So he could look at us and say, I've been through it all. I was tempted in everything. I don't know, maybe there were times Jesus, I don't want to get too far down this road, thought about his mom and dad. Do your kids ever think naughty about you? I don't think he rebelled against them, but I'm sure he had his own mind. Is that okay? He's going to come back and straighten this whole thing out next week. But anyway, he went through it all. So that he understood, and he understood before he came, but he understood exactly what we go through. And I don't know, and you can look this up, when did Joseph die? Joseph wasn't around the day of Pentecost. Joseph was around for the crucifixion. Something had to happen there where he was gone. But it's very possible Jesus went through the death of a father, stepfather. Okay, now that I messed you up and your minds are all bloated, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, we're going to kind of have an open forum here as soon as Tara starts talking. What does Jesus mean? Can't pick it up. What does Jesus mean? Jesus is called the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Lord refers to master. Christ is the anointed one or the Messiah. What is Jesus? Starts with S. Savior. So he shall be the Savior of the world. Kirk, your turn. Give me some of the definitions of Savior.
The one who saves.
Bless you, my child. You know more than that.
I do?
Yeah. What about deliverer? What about the one who prospers? What about the one who sets us free from bondage? When we think of Jesus and we connect that with Savior, there's only one. Okay? Donald Trump is not our Savior. And neither is Hillary. So there's one Savior, one who delivers us, one who breaks a bondage, one who sets people free, one who heals, that's part of it, one who delivers. You come to a place where the Savior deals with you in all the bondage that Satan has placed on us. Okay? When we come to that place and realize that apart from Jesus, there's no other way. There's no other way. And so we come to a place where we begin to understand what that means. But to understand where that means, we need to understand where we were. Every single person needs a Savior.
That's right.
And so God takes us from a place of bondage to being controlled by Satan, to being bound even by demons, for us serving ourselves. And when we serve ourselves, we serve the devil, to living a lie, thinking that we're okay, and allowing people to lie to us and tell us, well, everybody goes to heaven. When the only ones who are going to be there are the ones who know Jesus. And you may look at me and say, well, why are you so dogmatic about that? If I don't believe that, I need to do something different. Like retire. And so we need the facts that because I love you and I love the people I preach to and I love the people I meet out here. And so we come to a place because we love people. Now, how many of you, if you knew that you could rescue somebody going down the road and you see their car falling apart as they're driving, you're going to try to get up to them and stop them and say, hey, you got some issues with your tires, your tie rods, whatever it might be. You got some issues. You know, or if you see a kid running across the street in front of a bus, you're going to try to stop him, right? So why wouldn't we, if we see someone on their way to hell, just in love, tell them the truth? Because everyone needs to hear the truth. Your step now, my friend Tim, is keep going toward Christ. Don't look back. You know, I'll use with you the story we have. We have a great big front windshield and a little small rearview mirror. Keep looking out the windshield. Keep focused on Christ. Because He's our Savior. He's the one that delivers us. There's nothing you're going through now that Christ can't get you through. And as we look at that, we take hold of that, we believe that, we proclaim that. Do you know the sad part of the whole deal is this Christmas, a lot of people are going to hear stories in churches that don't have a whole lot to do with Christ. And I'm not putting churches down. But we need to come back to truth.
That's right. That's right.
We need to come back to the reality of a gospel that changes people's lives. Behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great news. Good news. The gospel is actually entitled Good News. And so we hear the good news, we respond to the good news, and there's life. Okay. Savior. How many of you ever felt alone? His name is Emmanuel. Now think about that. His name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now, how many of you want God with you? So whatever you're going through, whatever's happened, whatever's been your life, whatever you look back on and say, man, Today, as believers in Jesus Christ, He's with us because He's in us through the Holy Spirit. You're not going through anything alone. You may be going through things that you think no one understands, no one can help you, no one takes hold of, no one's looking at. You walk out the door and you feel alone. You go to work and you feel alone. You sit down for dinner and you feel alone, or supper if you're going to Jorgensen's. And all of a sudden you just, there comes a time of spiritual consciousness. I want to tell you about it. I've experienced it several times in my life. The first time I was fully aware of it was when my mom and dad were killed. And all of a sudden, in a church, and we talked about it last week. By the way, I wasn't going to tell the story last week, but I just felt I had to. And a young man came up to me and said, "Hey, thank you. I just lost my brother." That really helped. But I'm sitting in Summit Avenue Assembly of God, and all of a sudden I'm thinking and I'm broken, and mom and dad, we just buried them 2 days earlier. And all of a sudden there was a sensation of the Holy Spirit that comforts. He doesn't abandon you when you go through tough times. Okay? He doesn't leave you. The problem with us is that we're so grieving so hard at times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We grieve so hard at times we don't recognize He's there. Until we sit down and allow Him to speak to us. He doesn't abandon you. He doesn't just bail out on you. He doesn't say, "Okay, I've got you this far, now do the rest on your own." He's God with us. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He has the Comforter walking with us to strengthen us and to encourage us and to build us. And He wants us to understand that, yeah, there may not be someone right here. I put my hand on their shoulder and they're praying for me right there. But the Holy Spirit is praying for me to the Father. He's God with us. He's not an absentee father. I've preached messages where I've mentioned the Father, and I've had people come up afterwards and says, "You can talk to me about Jesus, but don't talk to me about a father. My father was absentee, or my father was abusive, or my father was this." And I look at him and I say, "Yeah, but you've never had a father that loves you like God the Father does. You've never had a father that you're the apple of His eye. No matter how good your father was and how wonderful he was, there's never been an earthly father like our heavenly Father."
Right.
And really, we can take comfort in that. There are people that will be sitting around tables this year with empty chairs because somebody passed on. And to understand that, and to go through that, we need the comfort and the strength of knowing that God is with us. He's there through the Holy Spirit. He's strengthening, He's encouraging, He's comforting, He's taking our hand. And think for a moment that Isaiah chapter 7 was written at least 1,000 years before Christ was born. Prophetic that God would be with us through Jesus Christ. And we can live in that. You see, our nation's not run by the media or a political system, even though they think they do. Our nation needs to be run by the God that's within the people of America. And when that turns, you will see blessings that we can't contain. You'll see that. And it's amazing. Okay? Jesus, Emmanuel, Lord. Now here's where your part really comes in. If Jesus is going to be Lord of your life, you have to let him. He doesn't come in and kick the door open. He may knock Saul to the ground. I can't say he fell off his horse because that might not be scriptural. And I have the Bible answer man in the second row. So whether he fell off a horse, a donkey, or he just fell. Well, he fell, right? Mm-hmm. He was knocked down. He had his... And so when it comes to Jesus being Lord, he's Lord at all times. He just may not be the one that you make Lord. Follow me? If he's going to be master, that means we surrender to him. There's only one major problem. Most of us like to run our own lives. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so Jesus, in the book of Matthew, was talking to a group of people, and he looked at them and he says, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I tell you to do?" And he says, many people are going to come in the last day saying, "Lord, Lord," but I'm going to look at them and they're going to say, "Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not do all this stuff?" And he's going to look and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I'll give you my insight on that verse because it doesn't matter. You probably won't accept it anyway. Knowing God is having relationship. Doing works is not having a relationship. Follow me? A lot of people are working for churches without ever having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are times that unbelievers pray and people get healed. I'm not trying to justify anything. But the thing that we need to understand is that being Lord is mean we bow our knees, our will, our goals, our objectives, our plans, and what we think we know better. Not to some man, okay? Somebody should have said amen. Not bowing to pastor. Say, "Okay, pastor, you're the greatest." Doesn't work. If I'm leading you, I need to lead you to the Lord and the master of our lives. It's not leading you to me. Paul simply said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So Christ was leading Paul, and Paul said, "Let's all go that direction." Okay? How many believe that? And so when Jesus is Lord, it simply means we take him at his word, we take him at what he says, we take him at what he's doing, and we submit ourselves to his leadership, and the Holy Spirit is always going to lead us to Jesus. You see, this place is supposed to be his body, his church. And it's not made with sheetrock and all the good stuff. It's a spiritual church. It's a spiritual body. And so when we call Jesus Lord, that means there's nobody more powerful in our lives than God. Amen. There's no one that we bow to. You don't bow to people. Missed a place to say amen. You don't bow to people. We bow to the Lord. We bow to him. It's all about him. You know, as we do that, we see the miraculous and we see the Savior coming forth and we see God doing things because he's with us And the Savior, what does he do? He saves, he delivers, he heals, he prospers. We okay? Are you understanding anything? Am I confusing you?
Understanding.
You better.
I need to.
And then the last one is Christ, Christos, anointed one, the Messiah. I'm going to go a little different direction. How many have ever read John 14:12? He who believes in me, the works that I do, greater works shall he do, because I go to my Father. The anointed one isn't just about his anointing. The anointed one is about anointing you. The same Holy Spirit that while he walked on earth anointed Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that anoints us. And there's not just a few people who live in that anointing. Every believer should live in that anointing, that power, that freedom, that deliverance, that breaking the yoke. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 10:38, I think, that the yoke of bondage was broken because of the anointing. The yoke was broken because of the anointing. Now you're out there all the time. If you have a job, you're working with people that need anointing. Things broke in their lives by the anointing of Jesus Christ. You pick up things. You know things. You sense things. And too often we just walk by them. Because we feel inadequate. But within you, the Holy Spirit is anointing us to do the things that the Messiah did. And so we need that freedom. And we see the hurting, we see the lame, we see the cripples, we see the drug addict, we see people in all different states of life. And it's not enough just to shake our head and say, man, they need help. Sometimes God leads us just to go up to them and say, you mind if I pray for you? Can I help you? Because the anointed one lives within us through the Holy Spirit. And we have the gifts and we have the anointing and we have the fruit. We have the things that the world needs to see. But sometimes they're the best kept secrets. And they need to be freed. So Jesus came not only to save us. Jesus came not only to be with us. Jesus came not only to have us bow our knees. He came to empower us so people would have encounters with him. And there's nothing like a God encounter. There's nothing like just God taking over. This gal, she does, and her husband's been sickly. And I just read it and just wanted to tear up. But, you know, they're not wealthy. So she was in a grocery store yesterday or day before. And she had over $100 of groceries and went to go in her purse to get what she needed to pay for them. And what was supposed to be there wasn't there. So she had all her stuff on a counter, you know, like you do at Walmart. You take your stuff out and put it there. And she's just looking at the clerk and saying, do you mind if I just, can I just check this stuff out and you just hold it till I come back with some money to pay for it? And somebody was behind her and said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll get it for you. And it was, Jan says, as she wrote on the email, it was over $100. It was cold. She didn't necessarily want, you know. But somebody came up behind her and paid her grocery bill. That's hearing from God, in my opinion. That's taking a step. And the Anointed One wants to talk to us. God is never silent. We just don't hear all the time. And so he wants to talk to us to help us. And as he's helping us, lives are being touched. Lives are being changed. People are being ministered to. And what a blessing. Still, the greatest gift is Christ. People that are missing Christ are missing life. No matter what you're facing right now, if you have Christ, you're going to win. And winning doesn't always mean I overcame something somebody's doing to me. Winning is going through it and living for Christ and walking it out and demonstrating, hey, God is with me. God is with me. And he's my Savior. And he's my Master. And he's the Anointed One. And because he's the Anointed One, I have the anointing of Christ.
And isn't that great?
Pardon?
Isn't that great?
Yep. And so as you face Christmas, how many families coming? Let your light shine. You know, I love to drive around and look at the lights outside. But there's a light shining within you that's reflecting Jesus Christ to the world. And how beautiful. How beautiful. We want you to have a great Christmas. And we thank you for being you. It's a wonderful life. God's doing some pretty amazing things at COC through you folks. And we love you. We appreciate you.